How do you learn who you really are? It's not found in books. It's found on the battlefield. What's up, Warriors? Welcome back to the Battlefield of Mind. I'm Rick, creator of the Warriors Way Mindset. And today I am so excited to be hanging out with one of my favorite creators, Ho Math, where he takes the math of people's behaviors and makes some of the most probably accurate charts that I've gotten to see so far. So I'm excited to have you on the show and excited to see where we're going to go. Now, do you want to continue the conversation we're having or do you want to change directions? Up to you.
I just want to hear what you have to say and respond
in a, cool,
that kind of mood.
So perfect. So what we were doing is we were talking about, we're trying to create a movement, and the movement itself is, how do we make it so we can make our world a better place? Not just for guys, but not just for girls, but for all of us. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a lot more of our opposition or the slower party in the evolution of being able to adapt better principles or to evolve into new ways of thinking. Well, our lady side does go a little slower. And by a little, it's usually 3 to 10 times slower.
Yeah.
Now, I've been working with men and women for almost a decade now. And it seems pretty consistent that's the way that it goes, unless we have certain hard truths that hit our ladies.
Yep.
Have you seen the same thing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the certain hard truths are, but for sure, I noticed that whenever there is an issue of not seeing eye to eye, I see men working harder to say, well, what can we do about it? And how can I understand it? And women working harder to say, you need to just fulfill my expectations. And if those expectations are unreasonable, often you never get there. We never get to that it's unreasonable. It's just, why aren't you doing the expectations? Why aren't you fulfilling them? Well, you've set up conditions that made it impossible to, oh, I don't want to hear it. They get very intransigent is the word I used. I made a video about a particular girl who makes a lot of content about how she gets rejected off of matchmaking. Like she hires matchmakers and then they say, I can't do anything for you. And she complains about it. And the intransigence, I had a therapist once, I put this in a recent video. I had a therapist once who told me that his female clients of a certain age, which are, you know, mid 30s and beyond, are the ones that are least likely to change. And he says it sometimes is like not even worth seeing them because they'll come in and they'll say, I'm not getting what I want. And the therapist will go, have you considered all of these many, many ways of changing your expectations or changing your life? And they will go, I shouldn't have to. My expectation should be fulfilled. And the therapist goes, well, they're not doing it and they're not going to. And then they just leave and don't do the work and come back next week and say, my expectation should be fulfilled. And it's like the same session over and over.
We've seen the same thing. I've seen some correlations to what you're saying, how women blame when men will self-shame. Mm-hmm. Women go more into denial. Guys go into anger. Women will do judgment before acceptance, where guys go acceptance first. Mm-hmm. And when you talked about the women who are the 30 plus, this falls into this stuff that I've done for the Disney princesses. Mm-hmm. The stuff where like, well, I shouldn't have to be anything different. I can just be me and love for who I am. And he needs to Prince Charming my entire life. And, you know, you look at the different Disney princesses where I've gone in and ripped them apart, where I'm like Cinderella, for example, mm-hmm. where like, well, you know, she was a regular old girl, nothing super special, shit on by other women, just, mm-hmm. you know, for whatever. Mm-hmm. She hits a fairy godmother that dolls her up, changes her whole look, makes her look awesome. She's very pretty, very not what she normally is, not what she is, just dolls her up. Mm-hmm. And the prince is like, holy shit, this girl's banging. Yep. And he's like, I got to know her. So he sees her, he dances with her, and he's like, I'm going to marry this chick.
Yep.
But then when the clock strikes, she takes off because her true self shall be identified, leaves her shoe behind.
Yep.
And then he has to go and find her again.
Yep.
Well, why does he have to go and put the shoe on every girl in the kingdom? Well, he didn't even know the girl's name, let alone any traits about her or values that she has or any interesting fun facts. He couldn't even say like, hey, do you guys know Cinderella? He didn't know her name.
Yeah.
So there was, girl,
yeah.
There was no criteria except she's hot as hell in blue. And then once the shoe fit, now a prince with a kingdom and potential and a future and power and money and fame now chooses you based on only one piece of criteria.
Yep.
You look hot in a blue dress.
Yeah, and it was just her appearance in the movie.
Mm-hmm. And so this is the same thing that goes into almost all of them. You know, the Ariel one blew my fucking mind. If you get plastic surgery and completely alter what you are and then lose your voice, a prince will choose you.
Yeah, just don't talk. That was
– yeah.
That's the funniest part about that, that they uphold her as a, you know, some kind of an icon. And it's like she's not making any noise. Isn't that very different from modern –
She physically altered her appearance in a dramatic way. She took her fins off and got legs, and then lose your voice, and then be a damsel and a prince will save you, and then you can have a kingdom of your own.
Yeah.
They have nothing special to offer, and yet when you see in these 30s plus, the princesses are going in, and the therapist is going, well, did you consider that maybe some of your behavior is a contributing factor? Mm-hmm. And they say, why should I have to be something unique or special? Mm-hmm. The princes are not doing enough prince stuff. But the prince's list is astronomical. And her list is just B.
Yep. That's being the table.
Mm-hmm.
Before I get into being the table, which is a big, like, that's a big thing that I'm working on with men and women. Men do it too. The young guys, especially the softer ones, they will say, I want her to like me for me. And it's like, that's correct. Not why women like men. They like you because of things you are or things you do and not just being. But my, I've started seeing someone recently and she's very intelligent and she has been telling me about, she read the original fairy tales rather than seeing the Disney movies. And Disney has really murdered those stories, really bastardized them. So Cinderella in particular, in the book, the reason the prince likes her is because she lived a life of labor and she had responsibilities and that gave her character. And so when she went to the ball, the other women were boring and entitled and bratty and the prince was tired of them. He liked her because of her character, which came through having responsibility. That's completely left out of the Disney movie. They turned it from a story in which working and developing character will make you into something that men value and they'll pick you over bratty entitled women. They changed that to, you shouldn't have to work. A fairy godmother will make you hot and then a man will like you for no reason. They took all of the morals out of the story. She told me a similar thing with The Sword and the Stone. Apparently, in the Disney version, as I remember it, Arthur gets the sword out of the stone because the gods ordained him. He's just was special from birth. And so he took the sword and all the other bullies were not able to be as great as him because the gods chose. In the original fairy tale, the reason he was able to get it out was because the other men were using the maximum possible force they could to pull the sword out. And it's like cornstarch, when you mix it with water and you hit it really hard, then it's hard. But if you touch it soft, then your hand goes in. So you only had to pull the sword gently to get it out. And Arthur was the only one who did that. And so it was a lesson about using appropriate force rather than maximum force. They leave the morals out of the story. The Disney movies have been the whole time, they've been selling this morality of you need not do anything. You are born not only good, but better than others. You are better than, you're a princess. Not everyone is a princess, but you are. You are a prince. You are the king. And not everyone is the king. You are. And you don't have to do anything. This has been unconsciously written on people's minds, and it can be very hard to pry them off of it. They feel entitled to be upheld for nothing.
I love the way that your girl broke that down. Mm-hmm. And I also, I mentioned this too, the Cinderella thing where a life of labor teaches humility and makes you understand responsibility and hard work and put in effort. Mm-hmm. And it makes you more interesting because you can appreciate other people's hard work and their effort.
Yes.
And yet being entitled and bratty and no effort makes you boring. And one of the quotes that I throw out there often is that disinterested people are not interesting.
Yep.
And this is where, like, if you're like, I'm not impressed, whatever, I don't care. Well, like I've got guys in my group who have like pretty much like go in the top spots in the world and break world records. And they're like, babe, I did like top spot. And they're like, yeah, but you didn't take out the garbage. And you're like, no, I got a world record today. Like I broke a world record. Like I'm the only one in the world that can do it at this level. Mm-hmm. They're like, yeah, but you didn't do this thing. So whatever. You're like, what? They're
looking for dissatisfaction.
Yeah. Which disinterested people are not interesting.
Yep.
I love it. I love that your girl's like, did you read the original story or the King Arthur? We're like, yeah. No, understand thyself versus you're just the winner for no reason.
Right. She actually didn't know that the Disney versions were that way. She'd only seen the original story. So she started talking about the morals and I was like, what the hell are you talking about? So we figured out the difference. And that's something that people are really, it's really insidious. Like people don't have any perspective on the world that they're living in. I found out recently that people who have Apple phones, iPhones, they've been telling me for years that they're better than Samsungs. And one of the reasons is they say they have better cameras. And what I found is that when somebody with a Samsung sends a photo to an iPhone, it lowers the quality to make you think that the cameras are bad. And they've been believing it. They're living in a bubble where they think that the cameras are just crappy on the other phone. And they don't check. They don't step out of their bubble and say, can I look at your phone? Can I live as if I was you for a moment? Maybe I should try living as if I'm an Android user, see what the experience is. They don't do that. They Mm-mm. just look at their perspective of it and then they're done. And then if other people don't adapt to that, then you're violating me. You're
taking away my Disney princess. Yeah, I love that you did this. I remember I used to work at a phone company for a long time. I used to set up the phones and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was really big on the specs. And I've been an Android user for a long time because the Android specs were just better. Mm-hmm. And so when I was going to get my last phone, I have a Samsung. So I ended up getting this. And I was looking at these things. And the girl who was helping me, she was the iPhone user. Mm-hmm. And she's like, iPhones are the best. And I'm like, well, let's look it up. And so I looked it up together with her. And iPhone, the new one, has a 46 megapixel camera. You're like, hey, nothing to scoff at, right?
Yep.
This one has a 200 megapixel camera. Wow. It's 3 to 4 times better. And I'm like, well, I think this is a better camera. It's got a 200 megapixel camera. Yours has a 46. So mm-hmm. I think I'm going to go with the Samsung on this one because even your best feature is like a third as good as this one. So. Yeah. I think I'm going to go with the one where I'll have the blue messages and not the green ones or vice versa, whichever one it is.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't really care about that. Yeah. The specs are just better and the capability is better. So I'm going to go with that.
Yeah. I've never, I'm mostly what I'm scared about with Apple products is that they corral you in. Like it's less freedom that you need this particular charger and it breaks and the new one is like $90. I don't know. I can't really speak to which one is better or which one works better, but definitely the mentality is really strange. Like there are a lot of people living in a very tightly constrained mentality and they don't know it. And then you try to tell them and they just lash out.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Warrior, thank you so much for being a part of the information that we have. And you're part of our story as we are a part of yours. It's very much an honor to be able to connect with each other. If you want to know more or you want to get started with working with me or working with our warriors so that you can begin your path to authenticity, strength, leadership, and accountability, this is the way. Together, we are way stronger. Now you get to choose. Do you go forward or keep doing what you've always done? If you stay where you're at, hey, click on some of the stuff and follow what it is. We got motivational stuff. We've got podcasts. We've got more things. Just subscribe and do the stuff and we'll keep you updated. But if you want to start going in, start jumping into what our programs offer and start your journey and being the hero in your own story. This is perfectly said. They lash out. When we did trainings on this thing to see if you're in part of the fringe group mm-hmm. or if you're in part of the radical group, if you're incapable of answering questions when people ask why, it usually shows you're part of the problem team and not the solution team.
Yeah. Could you say that again? If you're not capable of asking questions.
So if I were to ask a question like, hey, why do you have an iPhone? You go like, because you're, if you don't understand it, you're an idiot and you should shut up and you should never even have a phone. And you can't actually articulate my reasoning. If I start getting defensive, I get triggered, I get argumentative, I start using blame, shame, and judgment, and I don't actually give you a reasonable answer. I just start tearing you down for even asking the question.
Yep.
This is where I start seeing people who are falling into the problem team, not the solution team. Yep. Discord has gone out the window, and it's been replaced by emotions.
Yep.
And that's where I see people going like, So I'm like, well, why do you like your iPhone? Like, because it's better. I'm like, I would love to know how you measured it.
Yeah.
They're like, I shouldn't have to measure it. If you don't know, you don't know. And I'm like, well, actually, if you're going to say better, that would insinuate comparison.
Yep.
Comparison would justify some sort of, you know, measurement. And then the measurement would give a result to reasonably say that's better or not better. And we are talking about a product, not an emotion.
Yep.
And so we can compare, is it better or not better? Well, I measured off of my feelings. And I'm like, well, that's a difficult measurement to use because this is a very subjective system.
They're unconsciously measuring it by group inclusion. They feel included. They feel like they're on the right team. And so they're correct. And if you try to objectively measure it, then you're not on the right team. It's this.
You don't get it.
Yeah. The tribalism has become so unconscious that, like, we need some way to break people out of it. And I don't know what that is, because the technology allows people to be so insulated. They stare at the phone all day. The phone tells them, you're right, you're right, you're right, you're right. And then if you try to bring them into reality in any kind of way, you become an enemy, which can get really dangerous. Like, you can lose your livelihood or even get physically attacked because these people are just calling you a bad guy of some sort.
And the judgment is feeding into the part of humanity that needs to belong.
Yeah.
And because we seek approval and belonging, especially from the tribes, we will adapt or conform to fit whatever the loudest and meanest person of today says to do.
Yep.
And that seems to be the attacks right now, is that judgment, blame, and shame are designed now for my emotions to justify your compliance.
Yep.
And I don't actually have to have a fact to create a belief system. I can just make a loud noise, point a finger, and say bad things about you. And now this should be enough to make you censor yourself to do what I think you should do and not what is best.
Yeah.
It's become a society of do who is right, not what is right.
Yeah. Trying to diagram it. I made this, I've been drawing this, that are you saying this the right way? For me, it's flipped.
Yeah, no, it looks correct. I can see the needs, the problems. I can see it.
Yeah, cool. So I'm just, I'm trying to draw this up into a more, you know, professional. I'm trying to give people, you know, what I do is I draw these things out so people can understand them more easily. What I'm basically trying to create is a system where people can physically look at a list of what to do. And when they have this kind of conflict, the wrong way to go about it is when you have conflicting needs and you have a problem, to you just point back at your need. And this loop is, it's very, it just makes this boundary harder. Instead of looking at your own unconscious expectations and seeing if there's anything wrong in there, I'm not exactly sure how I need to depict this to make people understand that they have. It was something that I was saying again to my girlfriend, she's the only person I talk to outside of work. The way I put it to her was that some people believe that their mind is the world. When they see something and they have a perception, that is the way it is. It's not the way I see it. It is the way it is. And that's a very, you know, it's a very low level of consciousness that leads to a very low quality of relationship. And, we used to have a basic expectation that people could get beyond that. This is why we're ending up in these low-level relationships. Like, a lot of situationships, what we call situationships, are down here, where both people are behaving from this level. And I have been with a lot of girls who behave from this level, and a lot from here too. You know, when you live in a city, you get a lot of people who are stuck at what I call level six, the hippie level, which is... it's kind of funny how the system works. You would think that higher is better, but the lower ones are really unstable, and then this green and blue one are a lot more stable. And then when you begin to leave it and you develop individuality, it becomes unstable again. So that's kind of what we're going through right now. We're going through this really mass of instability because people are developing beyond these conventional ways of being into, you know, post-conventional, more understanding, more open-minded, more formless way of thinking. But one of the problems with that is when you get there, it dissolves all of these rules and all of these things that we used to agree on. In these layers, people agree on things and they act in conventional ways. They act in conformist ways.
Yeah. So and one like, of those yeah, is achieve yeah. and one is belong, right? I can see. Okay. So one of those, the achieve and the belonging one are both ones where you are doing something that others like you doing. And that's where it's a compromising of self keeps you off radar.
Yep.
And that's where those people find it's like, that's where a lot of people will stay. And especially what I'm doing, curse breaking with people's belief systems.
Yeah.
Especially the achievers and the people who are people pleasers, or they just compromise themselves to belong. People don't give them a lot of pushback because people get anything they want from those people because they're enablers.
Yeah.
They will compromise themselves for others, and people accept that openly because I receive without reciprocity. I don't have to give anything for you to give everything.
Yeah. That is definitely a characteristic of those levels and also of personality types, particularly the feminine personality type. They're much more agreeable, much more likely to give up what I want in order to create group agreement and harmony. That's I made this one about that, who is a 10 here. I put examples of the ways that men exercise status management and then the ways that women exercise status management. I put the 10 here, the Hollywood celebrity saying everyone is beautiful, even though she knows it's not true. She's just saying it so that everyone goes, yes, external equality. We're all equal on the outside. And then they keep their conflicts quiet and exercise them in kind of hidden ways, which can be very destructive, very psychologically insidious. So people hear the ways that those status games are being expressed, and they take it at face value because people are not very thoughtful and not, again, confusing their mind with the world, believing that they are one and the same, and not understanding that it's the same. What I'm pointing out here is exactly the same thing you get when you see something on the news that is ridiculous and you tell somebody that is ridiculous and someone goes, it's the news. Why would they lie? It's the inability to understand that people's behaviors can be deliberately not in alignment with what they perceive to be reality in order to control you.
Well, that's also a doubt rhetorical. And this is where people ask a question in a cadence that they feel like the answer is already in the question.
Yeah.
It's the news. Why would they lie? I'm like, oh, do you really want to know? Or is that what you think the answer is?
Right.
You know, and they think, well, I already made the noise. That sounds like you're stupid.
Yeah.
So the answer is already in the question. And that's a doubt as rhetorical. This is like where you don't really want the answer. Mm-hmm. I just said it in a way to make you feel like you're wrong.
Yeah.
It's an interesting game.
It is. It's emotion management. It's emotional management, and it has a lot of power because people make decisions based on their feelings and not based on reason, and pointing that out is just very difficult. It's something that I'm working on in my – I have a server called Level Check. It's based on there's an AI test that will tell you what psychological level of development you're answering the questions at. And there's a self-improvement group forming around it. So we're trying to create an AI-based self-improvement suite of tools. And the people who are interested in it, we get together and we have workshops about how to handle people who behave certain ways and how to avoid certain problems that we are encountering in the world.
Are you open to have some more minds play the game with you?
Yeah, we're looking to get as many as possible. It's difficult to really grow properly. So I have some people who are good at organizational development helping me with that. And we want more people in the group. We want more people engaging. But when I advertised for it and a bunch more people joined, we doubled our server numbers in a day. It kind of destabilized the community. So I don't understand why that is. I have people helping me with that. We're trying to make the system robust enough that anytime someone joins, they're placed in an appropriate place where they can learn and they can get used to the community and they can contribute without destabilizing anything. Like, you have people who show up and say, this is all about me now, I'm making all the noise, and then all the progress that we make kind of falls apart. So it's in early stages, but hopefully, you know, what I'm trying to build is a large community of people who can easily develop and share skill sets to be able to overcome these kind of unconscious games that people play.
This sounds fun. Like I said, I'd like to be part of the solution team on this and not part of the it's all about me problem team. Yep. So like, if you want someone to help you like break down some of the behaviors, that is what I do. So I'd love to team up with you on that. It sounds like a very useful system to help people have a faster track to get out of their own way.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what we're trying to build. We're trying to move people, up the scale of self-recognition to be able to point at yourself. That's what this is all about, too. I published
well,
this
it's recently. Being able to break out the most obvious thing. And when men and women, denial is the first piece that I see people run into. Men suppress their emotions, women suppress reality. Yep. And so whenever I run into this kind of stuff, denial needs to be broken in one way, shape, or form.
Yep.
And so to break out of the war with what is, which is how we explain what denial is, being able to have a tool to go like, let's not debate where you are here, this is your location starting point. And instead of that being a denial system of, no, it isn't, you don't know me, going, can we skip all that and say, all right, this is what happened and here's where we are, now where do we want to go? That's a really useful tool to break out of one of the toughest spots for people to work through.
Yeah. Can you say more about that? This is where we are in...
So whenever I'm working with people, especially the, like I said, when I challenge out and I tell people, I've been doing this for a lot of years and I've had multiple women's groups. When I say women are 3 to 10 times slower than men when it comes to progress, it's not meant to be judgmental. It's more observational. And so it's like I say, when I say location, if you said like, hey, I'm at this point right now in my journey and here's where I am. That doesn't mean better or worse. That's just your location. So it's not a judgment. Yeah. And so when I say, well, let's see where your starter location is. Where are you? And you have your chart here to say these are the different levels of healthy behavior. You can say it looks like your starter location is at this box right here. This is the behavior you're at. Even if you do Enneagram, for example, another way to like measure like the health of a personality type. Well, they do have the different levels where like, you know, pick any number, a healthy 8, for example, is a very compassionate, natural, giving leader, but an unhealthy 8 is a sociopath.
Yeah.
And so there's different levels of like, well, how healthy are you in this personality type? And so, you know, each one has their own levels. A healthy 4 is a very romantic, compassionate, loving soul. An unhealthy 4 is a narcissist. And so it's like, well, where are we on our health level here? That's your starter location.
Yep.
And then now we can choose the direction to grow or regress, because now we know where our beginning location for our GPS is. Now, where do we want to go?
Right. Yeah, the Enneagram is a really powerful tool for that. That's how do you, we're building that into the system for level check as well. How do you use that? How do you apply it?
I use the Enneagram as a baseline. So when we get into Nosce Te Ipsum, know this, know thyself, which is the first 5 weeks of my program, is just breaking down who are you. I use Enneagram as just one of the baseline tools. Now, many people mistype because if you're in distress or you're in an unhealthy state, you'll mimic behaviors of another personality type.
Yep.
And so I use it as a guide or a baseline, but not as gospel, because it's not usually gospel. It's going to, people are all battling through individual curses and different experiences, but it does give me your motivations for core desires, core fears, and, you know, your superego. And that allows me to know, like, what is the language that I use with certain people? And this also helps me, too, to see the type of mindset they're in, because I can speak very different to a type 2 or a type 6 or a type 9 than I would a type 1 or a type 8, because I can be far more aggressive because that's how they speak. You know, for example, a type 8 is a good one where if you use the word fuck, It is a term of endearment. It is, mm-hmm. it actually brings trust to the relationship, because if I am a prim and proper professor, I'm usually a bullshit artist.
Yep.
But if I say like, hey man, fuck those guys, let's do what is right. They're like, hell yeah, that's my guy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's something that we're, you know, trying to encode into the system as well. We do it. It's going to be working on an individual basis. It's basically like automated life coaching. I'm training it to do what I do a lot faster and more effectively and cheaper, so people don't have to come to me for sessions, and we can do thousands at a time. And being if for the system to be able to know how you think because of your personality type and then respond to you in a way that you're most likely to listen to, that's really key. It's really important. We were just talking yesterday on the Level Check server about how I don't remember what it was called. It was moral something theory, maybe moral foundations theory. And it was talking about how there are different parameters by which different people of different orientations judge what's right and wrong. And conservatives, I think, use the most. And I think libertarians only have one, which is just like how free you are, how much agency you have. And conservatives measure things by outcome and fairness and purity and, you know, how because they're conservative. They want to keep things pure. They want to keep the system the way it is. And then liberals use fewer measures than conservatives. So if you're expressing a conservative value to a liberal, you have to do it in terms of caring and fairness. You have to say, so this thing that you want, you understand it's not caring and fair towards this group, because you're forcing these conditions on them, and then they get stuck and they go, oh, because they're not going to care about the conservative values.
Well, it also shows a low amount of empathy for the system itself. It's mm-hmm. been amazing to watch what's happening with between conservative and liberal parties in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Because the entire system shows how ridiculous their belief systems are, because they can be altered with just a few newscasts. And it's amazing to watch how the indoctrination in college levels, because I have a lot of academia friends mm-hmm. who have left academia because they're like, the system has become corrupted to be more about judgments and ideology that are radical yeah. than about actual science or figuring out new things to grow the you know, humanity. Yeah. And that's been interesting to watch the group that used to be, everyone should be included. Everyone should have a voice. Everyone should be treated equally. We should all be one human race is the only race.
Yeah.
And that group within just a couple of years is now saying anyone white, including Asians and Jews, are all bad and inhuman, and they deserve to be ostracized and deserve to be yeah. ridiculed and attacked. And you're like, wasn't this the inclusion group? What?
Yeah.
What just happened? And then the group who was like, let's keep it pure, let's keep it, you know, the way that it's always worked, and we don't need outsiders, is like, come on in. Where I even have like gay people who are like teaming up with conservative groups to like yep. help preserve even the concept of a what is a man and what is a woman. And the gays are like, we don't argue about that shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's gone really insane. And it you know, it's very easy to get into the realm of conspiratorial thinking, where it's like sure. these things are institutionalized to a level where I don't see any benefit of doing it. There isn't any benefit. What do you gain? What do you, well, these people who are making these things happen, what do they gain? They're losing quality of life. They're losing safety. They're losing their rights. They're losing their freedom. And they're constantly mad. They're constantly screaming and mad and shaving their heads and screaming into microphones and smashing, you know, windows and setting courthouses on fire. Yeah. And it's all because of the system they've created.
It showed, there was a Jordan Peterson interview where he talked about in 2016 when they were watching the shift, they were doing the studies on behavior between all of these. And they said the one big walloping factor that seemed to be for the people who would fall into these radical ideologies, especially on the far left,
yeah.
was a very low level ability to articulate and communicate,
yep.
thus far showing in grades and all other aspects, they would be struggling with just basic intelligence. They would mm-hmm. be less intelligent than other people, thus making them easier to fall for anything because they didn't have anything that they stood for yep. and they couldn't articulate. And so if someone goes, well, why do you believe that? The response would be, ah,
yeah.
And you're like, I don't think yep. that was a very wise way to explain your point.
No, but it works for them. It's unfortunately what happens when you create, you know, you create a system like this where everybody has to agree, rather than a system where something can actually be done. Like, what I'm trying to create in my groups are systems that work like this, where anybody is allowed to come talk and say what you want. But when we decide what we're doing, that's just what we're doing. And the groups that are being created now are everyone gets around and has an equal share and has an equal voice. And a lot of times they just never agree on what they're doing. And a lot of times when they do agree on what they're doing, like if everybody happens to, you know, feel the same, this is something that they would do in Occupy Wall Street. That was where that started, where you could show up to a meeting. And if you didn't agree with what they were doing, you could do this with your hands. And you could just go, they made up a little sign language. And the whole group was not allowed to proceed forward until this one person got satisfied. So everybody needs to be satisfied. And I've had clients, for some reason, I see this happening a lot in Australia. A lot of Australian men and American men too, but really in the West, it's like people reaching that sixth level where everything has to be equal. Everyone has to understand. I had a client who was working in a writing group. They were writing movie scripts. And he said that they were not able to get a script finished because they were not able to do this. And I advised him to do this. And he was telling me how impossible it was because the structure of the group was that everybody has to agree. Do you want to write it this way? Do you want to change this? Do you want to move? You put this character here? You want to do that? And they would have to go away and rewrite it and come back and then present it. And then do you agree? 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 And if they didn't get universal yes, they had to go back and do it again. He said it had been a year and a half and they couldn't produce a script. Whereas if they had written a script in a week and came by and used this method, then it would be like, okay, you guys, if you don't like it, you don't have to be here, but this is what we're doing.
Or offer a better solution and then we can work on that together, and then not everybody will always agree. And I think this is showing a complete breakdown of leadership.
Yep.
Even this morning, I did an hour presentation with a large group of men over what is leadership?
Yeah.
And it didn't incorporate being maximally agreeable. And in many cases, you have to risk being very disagreeable to do what is right instead of who is right. And
this system, issues with that, yeah.
This is showing if you have a system based on who is right, nothing is right.
Yeah.
And if you base a system based on, like, I hear what you all say, but I'm going to take accountability and responsibility for if it all goes wrong to do what I believe is the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
This shows leadership.
Yeah.
And this is where you're seeing the systems right now are falling apart and they're eating themselves.
Yep.
Because they're arguing that authority is based on judgment. Authority is based on blame. Authority is based on a lack of accountability and emotions.
Yep.
And because I have an opinion without any basis of understanding or fact or research done or, you know, anything that would prove my theories to be sound, mm-hmm. I just had an opinion and that makes me right enough. And if you challenge, I shall judge and I shall blame and I shall tear you down because I'm a good person. And if you don't tell me or agree with my good person name tag that I just made, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to rip your life apart. I'm going to hurt your people. I'm going to get you canceled. I'm going to get your business taken away from you. I'm going to ruin your reputation. I shall lie. I shall cheat. I shall steal. I shall do all of the things because I'm a good person. And I gave myself that title. And if you don't agree, you're a piece of shit.
Yep.
And I'm like,
that's why they call themselves progressives, because it means good guy.
Hmm. I'm like, this is a very interesting system. It seems like if we have a reciprocity on this, you're going to hate your life.
Yeah.
If you treat people the way that – if people treat you the way you're treating people, you don't seem like you like that very much. And yet you created one of my favorite things that people can do, a justification.
Yep.
I am justified in why I am able to commit sin that I would hate done to me.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's a value system that's been installed on so many people that now it controls the courts and corporations. And I mean, there's a whole generation of it. There's a video that I'm going to try to respond to today. I have a coaching sessions to do after this recording, but I'm going to try to do a short video today on, there is a woman who's asking, God, it's just so infuriating. She's saying, what is wrong with young white men? They're all in their basements playing video games. Why are they not out going into the world and doing things? And it's like, well, have you asked them? Have you spoken to them? Because when we go out to try to do things, everyone says there's too many of you and you're not welcome. So why leave the basement? What? Why bother? When you get up and go try to get a job, they say, no, white men have too many jobs. You can't have one. So you go back to the basement. And then you go try to do anything else in your life. And they go, no, well, you can't have this loan. You can't start this business. Someone I know tried to run a... It's a long story. He had a job where he needs licensing and he moved states. So he applied for the license. It took them a year to get him the license. And while he was waiting, he tried to run a marijuana dispensary because he wanted to be productive and make money. And they said that those licenses to run those dispensaries are not open to white men at all. And also you have to have a conviction for drug offenses. So you have to be non-white and you have to have been convicted of a drug offense in order to get the right to run a business.
Did you say that you have to be non-white and have some sort of felony in order to start a company?
That is what my cousin told me. I didn't check on the law, but he said that in order to get a license for a dispensary or a particular kind of dispensary, that it's like a program to supposedly make up for people who have been arrested for marijuana crimes because they shouldn't have been arrested in the first place.
So you're saying that people who have not committed crime can't run a good business.
It's my understanding that that's the way it worked. I haven't checked on the law, but that is what my friend told me.
Sure. Even just going off of just the concept of what he has to overcome, what an interesting – there's a group of people who are like, yeah, that sounds about right. Let's do that.
Yeah. It's just so many people that it's become the law in a lot of states.
We are losing basic critical thinking skills.
Well, I mean, it's been lost a long time ago. The issue is, I think, that not very many people have ever had critical thinking skills. And the only way to run things is like you have to – some people are smart and some people are not as smart. And you have to listen to everyone. You have to hear what everyone wants. But that doesn't mean you obey them.
Or
you
agree.
Have to have someone who's in charge who makes final decisions. And we're not doing that anymore. Instead, we're saying, well, how does everyone feel? Well, your feelings need to be satisfied. And it turns out that really is just not true.
Never works.
Some people's feelings can be wrong and not reflect reality and can be very selfish. And I wish I had my full chart printed out. I've got to do some Photoshop work and cut it down to size. But
well, the feelings change like the weather too.
Sorry?
Feelings change like the weather.
Yeah, but they don't view it that way. At this level of perception, the philosophy that's generated by it is that it doesn't matter what your personal experience is of the world. It's correct because it's yours. And no one can say that your experience is correct or incorrect. They say all the time, are you invalidating my experience?
But none of them are generally correct. That even goes into like the Marcus Aurelius quote that I'm using like for part of one of the chapters I have on truth. And this is over 2,000 years ago, is that everything that we hear is an opinion, not a fact. And that everything that we see is a perspective, not the truth.
Yeah.
And yet right now, today's curse for truth is my truth. And that seems to be the shield that people will armor up with is, well, my truth, which disregards any facts. In fact, the belief systems don't require facts to be my truth.
Yep.
And if you fact check it, it just shows that you're a bad person.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I have this feeling, the feeling must be satisfied. If you don't give it to me, you're a bad person. And then now we have this reflected in the law. I really don't know how we're going to get around this because we've gotten to the point where we're living in absolute absurdity and people don't have any way to improve their lives. And then when you don't improve your life, people come after you for that too. And then it gets to the point where you end up in the legal system.
Yeah. And the legal system shall judge you based on a subjective point of view, not an objective point of view.
Right. And based on demographics, it's just like, well, you're getting denied all these opportunities because you don't need them. And then, hey, why aren't you taking all your opportunities? You must be a bad person. We're going to put you in this and we're going to put you in that.
Yeah. That it's such a you're very correct and it's a good observation. I can you're very in tune. It's an interesting world that we're in right now, where these systems in place oftentimes too are trying to knock other people down so others can succeed. And it reminds me of, like, if you look at bully systems, it seems like we've gone from a masculine bully system where, like, I'm physically going to dominate in some way, shape, or form. It's been around for many, many years. You know, this was around for a long time. And I'm not saying that was a working system, but it was there for a long time, mm-hmm. where if I'm bigger and stronger, I'll push you in the locker or kick your ass and you shut the fuck up.
Yep.
Like, okay, that was around and it was very easy to notice. And, you know, yeah, it can bum you out or make you feel like a little self-conscious in the moment, but you can outsmart that guy or figure out a better way. Mm-hmm. Now, that's different because, well, if I punch you in the head, you're still you. Now, the way that women would bully is they do reputation demolition.
Yeah.
And they destroy who you are as a person. You can't be in groups. You don't belong anywhere. You are bad for existing. And they shred souls.
Yep.
Not, and the difference is that men don't mind competing to win. But mm-hmm. women don't want to compete. They just want to win. They don't want responsibility and they don't want accountability. They want power.
Yep.
Power without being earned. You can build the building. I just want to run it.
Yep.
And you're like, there's a degree of earning that type of respect or that kind of authority.
Yep.
And they don't have the ability to actually enforce authority either. So they'll have other people do the same thing. And so in order to beat somebody who's bigger, stronger, better, wiser, more experienced, they'll destroy who they are as a person instead of get better to compete. Yep. And that's what you're seeing the system itself is I'll just have you destroyed so you self-censor. You're bigger and stronger. Yep. Well, I can't beat you. So I want you to censor yourself by thinking you're worthless. You don't matter. Mm-hmm. Your voice is a waste of time. And shut the fuck up and sit in the corner so I can just win without competition.
Yeah, that's what happened to me. In my former life, I was just not allowed to do or say anything that I wanted. So it caused me a lot of stress and I left and I quit. And now, I was talking about it on Twitter this morning. Somebody, I can't remember his name, somebody with 2.4 million Twitter followers retweeted one of my videos. And someone said, oh, this is going to be great for your follower count. And it's not, because all the services don't allow people to follow me. Every mm-hmm. day, somebody gets to me in the comments and says, hey, I followed you 20 times and it keeps unfollowing me.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then I tell people about that and they say, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. But it happens over and over and over.
Oh,
people
no, we get shadow banned for sure. I do. Yeah. I know I do. Because I'll have one video hit 2 million views and the next one hits 200. And you're like, what the fuck just happened?
Yep. Exactly.
So I actually talked to a guy who works at TikTok and he's like, oh, we fucking, hell yeah, we do that. But you can pay us and we'll make it so you don't get that happening.
Yeah, I bet.
That's a real thing, and it's a big number.
Yeah, I bet. Well, who do I pay and how much?
It's a lot. And it ends up being in the tens of thousands just to get unblocked from certain restrictions.
Yeah.
It's an interesting system to say, like, in order to help people, it's only based on a parameter that will create your allowed outreach.
Yep.
Not based on value, but based on what we dictate.
Right. Yep. And yeah, no one's doing anything about it. And they don't allow you to make competing systems either. Like when Gab and Parler ran into all those problems, they were trying to create a system that was fair. And so they just used bad words and said, oh, those are Nazi systems. So we're going to debank them.
Yeah. When Voltron showed up, that's what I call it. When Google and Apple and Twitter and Facebook and everybody created one super bot to wipe a company off the planet, breaking every single law that there is. Yep. And you can't do anything about it.
Yep. It's a really harsh system of oppression that we're living under. And it's crazy because people don't even recognize it. And when you tell them your experiences with it, they give you these flippant responses. And they go, you know, like, I'll say, I was told I was not welcome based on demographics. And people will say, well, why don't you just work harder? Well, I'll still be the same demographic. That's the reason for exclusion. It doesn't matter if I'm good at it. It matters mm-hmm. that you're not letting me in because I don't check your boxes.
Right.
And so people's minds are inaccessible. It really is like it's a zombie. This is the zombie apocalypse. People have no minds. They don't have any ability to think about anything. You can tell people, it's like you can stand right in front of someone and say, you know, there's a bear behind you. And they'll go, no, there's not. And they won't look.
You don't know. You don't know anything about bears. And you're like, yeah. Well, I do know I'm looking at one right now. And it's going to kill you.
Bear license?
Yeah. Where's your credentials for bear recognition?
Yeah. And it's like, all you have to do is turn around and see the bear. And they go, I will not do that. You're a bad guy for saying it.
And then when they get mauled by a bear, they go like, how could you let that happen? You're like, I tried to warn them with everything.
Yeah,
they said that I'm an asshole.
Privilege. Yeah.
Yeah. I just had a podcast recently where we broke down privilege. And at the end of it, they were like, yeah, maybe I didn't have privilege. I worked my ass off. And I'm like, I don't think that's privilege. You had to earn. You worked.
Yep. No one's ever given me anything.
Yeah, I never got any donation money to build my company. Never did.
My parents got me a Nintendo. That's about it.
That was the biggest donation back in like 84.
Yeah. Yep.
You're right. When it comes to critical thinking skills, even when they looked at the numbers, just with the behavior around COVID, just with where they were just watching, like, mm-hmm. well, what happens with the decision-making skills that people had? And it was shown that baseline, 50% question nothing.
Yep.
Like there were no questions. They're just TV like, do whatever. Comply immediately, no questions. Yep. And that was very interesting to go like, well, shouldn't some of us go like, well, what's going on? Like, why? Why are we doing that?
Yeah.
Like, no questions. In fact, I will with full force enforce this thing that I've never thought about.
Yeah.
You're like, why? What are you doing? Don't ask why. You're bad if you ask why.
Yeah.
Interesting. You're judging understanding?
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah, it's wrong to know things.
Mm-hmm. It was a very interesting system.
Yeah.
And we saw the same thing too, because it was very interesting just watching that study when they showed 50% question nothing. Mm-hmm. And then the other half, there was a good 30% understood, mm-hmm. and questioned, but they were stuck. And this is one of the ones where they started to force compliance, especially when it came to, taking a jab, if you will. And when it came down to it, people are like, historically, you know, a vaccine when it's in its first process has bad track record, not just this one, but all of them. Mm-hmm. The first wave has been problematic. They usually will test it on military and have very adverse results and then have to go back and fix it. And those things have been happening since, you know, Spanish flu or, you know, smallpox. Like the vaccines, the first wave, didn't always work out well. You know, they caused more harm than good sometimes. And so people who understood the science was like, maybe being first in line for, you know, this very quickly put together medication is probably not the best plan. So I'm going to look at it a little bit. And they're like, well, no, you have to, or else you lose your career. And you're like, well, I'm a doctor, or I'm an attorney, or I'm, you know, some specialist where like, this is what I've dedicated my entire existence to. Well, I can't forfeit my practice. And so it's like, I can't shut down my business because then it shuts down my purpose, my livelihood, my provisions for my family, my whole lifestyle falls apart. My kids start to starve. Everything falls apart. I lose my home. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, I don't like it, but I'll do a form of compliance. Mm-hmm. There was a big group for that. And then you had the other group that was just like, nope, fucking not doing it. I'll lose the job. I don't care.
Yep. I lost everything. And I wasn't allowed to do anything. I was on unemployment until it ran out. And then I just left, just moved. And then I sat in the basement for a while.
You fit the cliche. Why do the white guys sit in the basement?
Yeah. Well,
it's because you guys told me to go fuck off.
Yeah, you said I wasn't allowed to do anything. I'm not allowed to make money or participate in any social activities. Why are you not? Why aren't you there? You banned me.
Yeah, you're supposed to be a millionaire. You're like, yeah, but you told me I can't have a business.
Yeah.
We're in fun times. I want to shift this over to the most obvious stuff when it comes to the whole math element of things. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I love the way that you broke down, and you did a really good job with the females that are tens. I really enjoyed that video you did. Mm-hmm. But talk about just hypergamy in itself. And this is how people choose a mate. Now, hypergamy itself was supposed to be a very useful thing. And so it's been really destroyed with, like, you know, what level you are, the 1 to 10 scale, and how you choose a valuable mate. And high value person went from a person with high amount of values to a person who has superficial value. Mm-hmm. And this is where things are becoming transactional. And I think you have a very cool chart to explain, like, hey, pay attention. Like, this is how people are choosing and they're rating themselves. And so if we could have you do that a little bit, I love the way that you broke down your hypergamy system.
Sure. Yeah. So I think you mean kind of this one, right?
Yeah. Those ones are wonderful.
Yeah. So basically,
go ahead.
The way that I talk about it is that in the normal world, in normal society, people know each other. And this is your church or who you work with or your neighborhood or the PTA or the people that you see every day. When you only know a local group of people, that's all that you have to judge by, and your social connections cause familiarity. Now, I don't have the standard female delusion chart printed out. I should do that too. But these feelings of familiarity cause women to be more comfortable with men and to judge them accurately. Without that familiarity, they judge men very inaccurately. You will see women, the video that was retweeted by, I wish I remembered his name, it contains attractive, but maybe slightly out of ideal range age woman, like maybe she's going into her 30s, mid-30s. And she's talking about how these men have no shortage of opportunities with women. And it's like, well, you're not talking about these men. They have a very great shortage of opportunities with women. And that's overwhelmingly most men. Overwhelmingly most men having a very difficult time getting female attention right now. Before I blew up and got famous, I was going on the most pathetic dates imaginable, and the girls were very judgmental towards me because I didn't have any social status. I didn't get taller or more attractive or smarter or funnier or anything. I just got social status, and then now I'm up here, and now I have choices. And she's saying, these men have all this opportunity, and men, but she's just not talking about these people as if they're men at all. So that separation that we're living in, people, they don't see it. That's like a fish in water. Fish don't know about water. What do you mean, what's water? I'm floating here because of me and I'm great.
They don't know they're wet.
Yeah, it's not that I'm swimming in water. They don't understand that they're in this system. Mm-hmm. And they believe, again, that their mind is the same thing as the world. So they perceive that something is happening and they go, this is true, this is a fact. And then you say, well, actually, all of you are going after only a few men. And they don't feel like it's true. So they just argue that too. They say, well, everyone likes something different, and that's not really true. We actually have data from pretty much every major dating app pointing to the fact that women overwhelmingly pursue the same few men, of which I used to be. I used to be in that group. When I was younger and more attractive, it was like I thought all men were having that experience. There was just a new girl twice a week. And I was like, wow, dating apps are so cool. Well, it turned out that they were only cool for me because I had muscles and I was 27. So mm-hmm. I depicted this process this way, where we used to have, you know, stability because people associated with each other. And when you get rid of that and you put a phone in everyone's hand, women fight against depression, they want progress, and then they end up very stuck in their perceptions, believing that they're owed everything. And then they end up being treated, you know, like a commodity, which is very exhausting to them. And now what she's suggesting, it's so funny, what she's suggesting is, what if we made men wait? Would they go through courtship? And it's like, well, that's what we had before that you didn't like.
Mm-hmm.
And if we do that again,
nothing changes.
You're not just going to complain about it again.
Well, now guys are just going, wait for what? I'm not playing with you.
Yeah.
Because like they're starting to assess, well, if I get you, you then make my life miserable.
Yeah, very often. Yeah. That's unfortunately the case that you know, these women, they throw themselves at, again, just these men. And then when they meet a guy who they like, then they make him wait. And it's like, well, why should I wait when you didn't make them wait? Oh, well, I like you, so I'm going to make you pay a lot more for the same thing.
The I don't go red pill often, but there was a thing that Rich Cooper said that I did agree with, where he said, like, these women will throw themselves for free at these other guys and just give it away for free for years until they start to have a depreciation of their beauty.
Yeah.
And once the beauty starts to depreciate, they no longer give themselves away as a free commodity. They expect somebody now to pay a premium for it. He's like, the guys who have the ability to pay a premium are not going to be paying for somebody who was giving it away for free to everybody for years.
Exactly. And it, you know, they're older too. Older women are less popular.
They don't like that fact too. Sumi Basani did a really good job when we were on the show breaking that down. Like, ladies, you aren't really measuring the way that you're playing the game here. At the end of this, if you play with this hand the way you're playing it, you lose. And they're like, well, we win for a minute. Yeah, but you get used and then you lose.
Yeah, you destroy basically your whole life.
Yeah. And they're having
a small amount of fun in your youth. And then from 35 until death, you're just complaining that people are not giving you free handouts anymore.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of happy cats, though.
Yeah. Yeah, they say invest in boxed wine and cat food.
Yeah, this is the...
it's really sad because it's so widespread that we're facing a total collapse. Like, America isn't going to be America at all anymore.
No.
The type of people who lived in it and created it are going to shrink down to maybe like 2%.
Correct. And they'll create small infrastructures or small communities.
Yeah. And then that's going to be like, what kind of a world is that? You're just going to be living in a tiny little town for what, centuries?
Yeah.
And it'll be dangerous to go anywhere else because it's like you invited the whole third world in, and now what, Nebraska is the third world? It's pretty much
It's going to get weird. It's going to get very weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, and killing the idea of dreams is an interesting game plan to begin with.
What do you mean killing the idea of dreams?
For people to be able to say, I have a dream to be able to open a dispensary because I believe that, you know, for medicinal purposes, this is going to be a beautiful thing. And in America, I can just have a dream and I can build the dream. And going, no, you're white and have no felonies. You cannot have a dream. Yep. And you go, wait, no, what are we killing having dreams? What are we doing? You're like, yeah, I just made up a rule to make it so dreams should die.
Yep.
And you're like, I don't like that game. How do we get back to like, it's America, the land of opportunity? We're like, we can't have a land of opportunity. I need a land of compliance and control. And you're like, the weird thing for me is watching again the lack of critical thinking. Instead of going, hey, wait a second, maybe we don't want to have a system where we kill our dreams. Maybe we should go back to that freedom of being able to pursue your dreams and do something that's against all odds, but work your ass off to get it and create a better world. And they're like, nah, compliance sounds pretty damn good. Who wants a dream anyway?
Yeah. I mean, and compliance isn't getting them very much. People can't buy food anymore.
Yeah, they're going to be waiting for the handouts. It's going to create a system of control where the rich will dominate all. And they can't wait to sign up. People are like, sign me up first. Put me first in line.
Doesn't leave a whole lot to hope for.
AI is going to change the world in a big way too, especially these charts you have. The whole game changes.
Yeah.
Did you know you said the white men in the basement?
Yeah.
It's not just white men. It's just there's a large group of just men, and it's going to get substantially worse. The Universe 25 concept of people stop trying to breed and stop trying to have families. Right now, was it you, I think, who told me 30% of men and 20% of women are just, we're out of the game. We're not playing.
It wasn't me who said it, but I'm aware that that is vaguely true. Yeah.
Okay. I have a lot of these conversations.
I quit. I quit. Like, I'm giving people dating advice and self-improvement advice because it worked for me. But even though it worked for me, I still quit because I was like, in the last few years, even during COVID, even during it, I was really successful and I was in my, you know, mid to late 30s and I was having like really attractive 24-year-old girls come over in the middle of the pandemic and everything. And that part of my life was, it continued to be very successful even into my mid to late 30s, but I couldn't get any kind of a stable relationship to form. And it was because, number one, you know, these girls are so poorly behaved and they'll go on a date with you and then admit that they're cheating on their boyfriend later on in the night. They will have 4, 5, 6 partners unabashedly, unashamedly. And then, you know, if you suggest to them, if you say, like, let's make something more permanent out of this, they lose excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole thing that they were doing in the first place was based on excitement and not based on any kind of stability. And if you I have stability, they go, oh, that isn't sexy anymore. And they disappear.
Well, it reveals an addiction that they have. And right now with females, the social media drug is highly addictive for attention. And so if you are to suggest all the attention that I get, I shouldn't get any more. Mm-hmm. And their attention is based on beauty or their body. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, maybe you should be a little more exclusive with that and just, you know, have that just be an us thing. Mm-hmm. And they go, but I'd be getting rid of all my drugs for you. Why would I do that?
Yep.
And that's the drug right now for a lot of these young ladies.
Yep. And it leads to cycles. Leads to, I have these depicted as well. What I'm depicting here is that women really have only one set of value that they're judged on, and they don't know that because, again, their minds, they think that the way I view the world is the way everyone views the world. So they see men who, this is female total value as perceived by men. They like 22-year-old girls the most, and as they get older, they get less and less valuable. The second one is male physical attraction. So women are mostly physically attracted to men at age 27. That's when they're perceived as being the most physically attractive. And then that goes down as you get older too, of course. And then there is overall attractiveness for men, which peaks a little bit later because that's when they lose a little bit of looks but gain a lot of financial. And then later is the financial when men are doing really well. And then later on in life, they can have a lot of financial value. And these are the
two axes that I put on this map.
The bad boy score is your physical attraction. The good guy score is your security, financial attraction. And women
think
that they have that and they don't. Women think that they can get jobs and be more attractive later in life, and they don't. We're judging them on this stuff.
Right.
And so they don't understand that this is going away, and you've got to make your decisions here. You've got to find a guy who maybe he doesn't have his money yet, but he looks like he's going to, and then hope that you can be with him at this point.
Yeah. It's that is spot on.
Yeah.
And I've done the same thing where, like, advantage women young, advantage men later.
Yeah.
And, you know, it switches because burden of beauty, burden of performance. Mm-hmm. Now, this is where you see the ladies who skip burden of beauty, burden of relationship, learning the skills to have a relationship. Like you said, women that you were going with who don't have the social structure to be able to even have a relationship start becoming a more predominant thing because they think relationship is just give me everything I want. And if you don't, you're a piece of shit. Now find one who will.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to see, like, burden of beauty at the beginning, youth wins. Mm-hmm. And guys don't have performance yet. We're in school. We don't have our house yet. We don't have establishment yet. We don't have a career yet. Mm-hmm. We're still just getting the degree or still educating or whatever it would be. So women, advantage young. Mm-hmm. And then we start graduating, get our shit together. And like you said, around 27, we're physically and now financially at a level where around 27 to 30s, like early 30s, we're balanced out. We're around in the same area. We're like, your beauty plus my performance should be around the same area. Mm-hmm. But then it starts getting into where the depreciating asset is beauty. But the skills that I'm developing are going to keep getting better and better. I'll get more promotions, or I'll build a bigger business, or I'll get stronger and smarter in many different ways. And so now it starts to change dramatically. And this is where your hypergamy chart starts getting crazy because you're seeing the women who focused on beauty start to really get really bitter. Mm-hmm. And then the women who skipped all of the stuff because they didn't have the beauty and went right into my PhD or my company or my success or my law degree or whatever are now going on dates and going, like, I write papers that are very high level. And the guys are like, I don't see how that has to do with, like, anything I'm looking for.
Yeah. Why is that going to improve our relationship. You're just going to be gone. You're going to be busy all the time.
Yeah. I make $150,000 a year. And you're like, cool. So like, what's my cut? Oh my gosh, you want my money? I'm like, well, what's the point of it if we're not sharing?
Right. That's I don't care. Strange thing that happens in the female mind, how they value men for making money and they expect men to spend the money. And then they say, value me for my money, but won't spend the money. And they never make that connection, even when you point it out.
Can't catch it. And this is why the whole idea of who's supposed to be a leader has come up very often when it comes to family dynamics. Mm-hmm. You know, like, can women really be leaders? My argument has been, if you have a single member of the family who does not have empathy for another member of the pack, that cannot be a leader. And if you have one who sees an empathetic, compassionate share to another is considered a dependency and a liability or a crutch or a problem or complain worthy, you may not be the leader.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to the empathy element for women, they seem to have no compassion for the hearts of men. They seem very disposable. But men do have empathy for women.
Yeah, it's not possible for most of them to feel what men feel at all. And when we tell them, they go, you should feel something different.
The should.
Yeah.
The should. Or because I've done the videos where men have learned, because women have trained us, that anger is the only option to even maintain a semblance of confidence when we're emotional. Yet we're highly judged when that emotion doesn't serve you. Yeah. So if you get angry and beat up a guy at the bar who grabbed her inappropriately, you're awesome. Mm-hmm. But if you get angry and go, stop fucking with me at home, you're an abusive asshole.
Yeah.
It's the same system. As long as it works for me, I like it. But they don't understand that he can't start crying without you falling into your system of judgment and go, what a weak man. I need a strong guy. Mm-hmm. So we have to convert all sadness to anger.
Yeah.
So anger is how men cry. And so since we're crying through anger, well, there isn't a compassion as a hurt person is hurting. We're going to go into, you're a bad man. You're abusive. You're a piece of shit. You suck. You're horrible. I'm just going to leave you, instead of going, what's going on with my dude? Because you're clearly having emotions right now that's making you seem not okay.
Yeah.
What's wrong with my, are you okay? What happened to my man's heart today?
Yeah.
These are not the conversations. And you see, as soon as a man hits hardship, that he's gone.
Yep. I had a situationship for a while during COVID with someone who kept coming back because I was her best option, even though I told her, like, well, this is never going to be, I'm never going to make this a real thing. She kept coming back because she needed the company and the time and everything. But then every time I had any difficulty with what was going on, she would walk right out the door. At a moment's notice, she'd walk out the door and I wouldn't see her for months. And it creates this, I drew these cycles.
Let me see your, I want to see this one.
Yeah, this is something I was getting at earlier about the cycles of, you begin a relationship and you're at, you know, this is, these are female and male excitement levels. You begin at maximum excitement, and the typical pattern is that the girl starts getting bored first, because it takes about this long, maybe a month or something, for her to notice that, oh, he's not such a bad boy that as I thought, and he has feelings and difficulties and he's a real human being and he has to go to the bathroom and everything. She starts losing excitement and then very suddenly switches to a new guy. And then by the time we have begun to notice that's even happening, she's gone. She's got a new guy and we were not expecting that. And then the women say things like, well, you should have known. You should have known that this was happening. You should have done this, should have done that. No empathy for what the man was feeling. And then we have really hard times. And some men, you know, commit suicide, and some men, oh yeah, off camera there. Some men commit suicide, and some men, you know, they end up stuck in the basement and they don't want to try again. This is the pattern that we very often get. When I tried with all those girls in the city, this is what happened. I started liking them and then they were gone. Oh, someone else is more exciting. Bye. And they would say things like, let's be polyamorous. But one girl actually said, let's be polyamorous, except we don't have sex. You can just be the good guy boyfriend and I'm going to have sex with other people. And I was like, you need to stop talking to me forever.
Somehow, though, that sales pitch in her mind
made sense to her.
Made perfect sense.
Because how can I use all her needs?
How can I use everyone without an ounce of compassion for what it costs others to be whatever I want.
Yeah.
This me-ism belief system, this this religion of me-ism, mm-hmm. is really exposing the true colors of people, and they don't want to have the reality check mm-hmm. of like, you've just revealed you. Mm-hmm. You've revealed who you are. But more in the more complicated one for our trials and our purpose is to get people to recognize you didn't reveal you to me. You revealed you to you, but you didn't notice. Mm-hmm. Like, you just showed what kind of person you are. I will use everyone. I will isolate everyone to get all the things that I want. I will take everything that you have. Mm-hmm. Soon as I am done taking everything you have, I'll tell you how you weren't good enough. You're a piece of shit. You're garbage. And I don't know how I ever loved you in the first place.
Yep.
And like, your support system was destroyed by me so I could keep taking without people trying to get in the way. Mm-hmm. Now, if you look at that behavior, that's narcissism.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They isolate you, remove your support system, make them the center of your world, take everything that you have, and then tell you you're a piece of shit when you run out of resources. Mm-hmm. And then if you go like, fuck, that hurt really bad. After they're gone, you start to get your shit back together again. And then once you're back together again, they're like, hey, you have more, and they'll sell you the dream to come back in and get you isolated again.
Yep. Yep.
And this is where you see the Sadia Khans and the women who are working in this field going, social media and these pushes are creating narcissistic women. Mm-hmm. Yet they're the first ones, and narcissists are the first, to point the finger at calling everyone else narcissists.
Yeah, when you see women, angry women online, making accusations against people, it almost always is a very accurate self-description. If they Correct. Only said those things about themselves instead, it would be like, wow, what an incredibly self-aware person. But they're not Correct. Capable of recognizing that. They're doing it, and they're saying everyone else is doing it.
Denial is the core curse for women. Mm-hmm. It is the fake persona. It is the war with what is when it comes to truth and reality. Mm-hmm. And that's why it's the toughest hurdle for women's groups, is that sometimes it takes up to 10 weeks before they go, oh, fuck, we're here for me, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're like, yeah. You kept trying to say he's bad. He needs to do this. Why isn't he doing what I want? Why isn't this him? Mm-hmm. And you go like, it's because you're blocking everything good because you aren't authentic. You have no accountability and you have no empathy. Mm-hmm. Well, why should I have to do that? Because you fucking require it.
Yeah. You can't get That's what you probably, want without it. You can't make your own life better without it.
Right. Especially starting with just the accountability. And that's why we've seen a lot of the women who are standing up for women and men, because they have sons and they see the direction this goes, where families dies and their sons have to be the kid in the basement because there is no place for him in the world. They're like, we can't have that world, lady. Shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. So women have become the loudest men's rights activists because they realize their sons' lives will be forfeit and they're going to fall into that suicide timeline that you have, because that's the only place for them to go, because they're not wanted anywhere. Yep. And without purpose, without belonging, and without any type of love in their life.
And it's not just purpose, reason? Belonging, and love. It's a lot of them can't even pay their bills.
Yeah.
A lot of these guys are stuck in their mother's basement, because mm-hmm. no matter how much education you get and no matter how valuable you are, no matter where you go, people say you are not allowed to have enough money to live on your own. Then they end up living with mom, and then mom says, why are you such a loser? Even your own mother doesn't love you.
Yeah. It's a rough game we're playing.
Yep.
Yeah. No, your chart, it seems majority accurate. Now, this is where the women who generally will watch my shows or get into a lot of our conversations will go, this is less relatable to me. Well, thank God, because you're in that small percentage of women who are like, maybe we should be accountable. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should do personal development. Maybe I should grow a little. Perhaps it is me in some aspects. That's why sometimes they'll watch our shows and they'll go, well, that seems a little far-fetched for me. It's like, well, you're in that small percentage that outgrew this majority behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very tiny. My girlfriend right now is one of the most self-aware people I've ever met, and it's going really great for that reason. But I had more or less given up on mm-hmm. hoping for that. And that was never going to happen to me if I didn't get famous.
That's a tough sentence.
Yeah, that was a very slim margin for me. Like, I didn't suddenly become a developed person. I've been a highly developed person with a lot of skills and a lot to offer for 15, 20 years. And it wasn't until I suddenly dramatically grew in status overnight that I had any options at all.
Mm. That's hard, man. Damn. That's tough. That hurt my heart. Yeah. Like, fuck, bro.
I was in my mom's basement.
Yeah. Like, highly skilled, highly capable, mm-hmm. highly driven, no opportunities.
Yep.
Fuck. Dang, man.
Yep. Nowhere to go. Can't leave.
Heavily judged. Heavily put down.
Can't make your own business. Can't get a loan.
What a weird time, man. Yeah. And just for you pointing out, like, you have a skill for creating charts to make it so you can.
I have a lot of skills. I have, graphic design and writing skills. I have the ability to, communicate anything to anyone as long as I understand it.
Mm.
If I get it, I can tell anyone. I can communicate it to 5-year-olds. I can communicate it to all the way up to my level of expertise. And that's something that's really, really valuable in my field. I used to work in marketing and communications. And mm-hmm. yet I would send out thousands of applications and get no takers.
Interesting. That's wild. Mm-hmm. That's wild. So it's almost amazing, like, to say, in order to find yourself an evolved woman who does take accountability, has authenticity, shows empathy, and is willing to grow with you, which is one of the big things that men said they were looking for in women. Mm-hmm. You found one only by having to put yourself into, like, the top 10%.
I'm sure I'm way more in the top 10%. Like, in terms of money, I'm approaching the top 1%. I'm starting to make a pretty good amount of money with this. In terms mm-hmm. of social status, I'm easily in the top 1%. Like, I'm mm-hmm. something like 70 million people know who I am now. That's very rare.
It's a large number of people. Yeah.
And that's what it took for me to have any kind of choice in my life at all. Before then, it was just like I was driving for Uber and people would always say, wow, you're so interesting. Why are you driving for Uber? And I would go, well, do you have an opportunity? And
yeah.
what's really hiring? Funny about that is a lot of them would say yes and give me their cards and never follow up. And I would ask them and they would go, can you leave me alone? And it's like, oh, I thought you said you had something.
I was taking you at your word. I thought people still had integrity. My bad.
Nope. They just wanted to have a chat.
I've found that too. And this is where the Eagles conversation comes in. A lot of chickens, not a lot of Eagles. Where trying to have an opportunity oftentimes requires us to create it. And we have to break the norms, break the rules, and do things that go against, like, what they say you're supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And you've done that. You said, fuck it, I'll just break the rules. I'll make something that you say I'm not supposed to do. Mm-hmm. And it works. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing. I go against the gender norms here and these social norms to go, what is best for our families? What is best for our men? What is best for our women? What is best and what works best? And then let's train our fucking asses off to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, that system goes against men are bad, toxic masculinity. Women should just win without competing. Give them everything. You need to somehow, what was the video you had where men are supposed to make 33% more than women still? Mm-hmm. But they have all the opportunities to make all the money.
Yeah.
Like the college application, like the loans and opportunities and the scholarships and all that stuff, all those big benefits for women where boys don't have those. Mm-hmm. And then the way that they hire, now they're hiring women just for being women and guys don't get hired. Mm-hmm. And then race comes before. So a white male would be the last guy that they're going to consider for the job when they would take different race female would have a obviously. And you're like, well, how is he supposed to make 33% more when he has substantially less benefit to have that opportunity?
Yep.
And they're like, we don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, just
we don't
harder.
Want to talk about that. Just work harder. Like, I couldn't get into the college that you got into because we had the same grades and the same systems, but the scholarships and everything that was afforded was for females. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for males, or it was for a different race, and I didn't match up with the criteria.
Yep.
You're like, so how do I make more without completely just breaking all the rules?
Yeah. At this point, if people don't wake up really quick, there won't be anything left.
Yeah. It's going to be a very, very, very large group of humanity. It's going to get wiped, which may be part of, like, what's the agenda? Mm-hmm. that's been suggested quite a few times.
Yep.
Then what will be left? Well, yeah, they're pretty
they're
open.
They're really open about who they do and don't like. And when they say it, it's like, hooray, let's get rid of certain people. And then when you say they want to get rid of certain people, then you're insane, even though they just said it themselves.
Well, Noah was a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. He built a boat and people thought he was stupid.
You're nuts, dude. You're crazy. That's stupid.
What's fun about our times right now is you're not allowed to build a boat. It's illegal.
It's illegal to build a boat.
Yep.
And you're like, this seems like this is going to be bad. So yeah. It does seem like the only way that you're going to have any type of hope is to secretly build your boat.
Yep.
And hope you don't get caught by they.
Yep.
Because they'll burn your boat.
Yeah. Oh, do you have a boat? That's banned. Boats are banned. You're a terrorist.
Yeah. You should be in prison for building hope.
Yeah.
Yep, I love
no
your brain.
Solutions, only problems.
Yeah, I love your brain, dude.
Thank you.
It's so lovely to talk to you. These charts are good. You got a couple here with holding investment. You've got the stability charts.
These are add-on to you know what I was talking about before, where people go through this emotional addiction cycle. They want the high, and then as soon as he's not exciting anymore, they drop him, and the guy has to pay and suffer. So our adaptive strategy is you withhold investment. You don't give her what she wants. So then the girl comes and she gets excited. And then when she starts losing excitement, you bail to the new girl and the orange there. And then she's excited. And then she starts saying, hey, what's up here too? So the man never gets up to 100%. He only has like these temporary girls. And so he has this very slowly fluctuating, like, oh, she left, that hurt. But there's a new one and she left, but that and that hurt. But the old one came back. And you have this alternating cycle where some guys, some small percentage of guys who can still get women are just alternating them. And they have their roster and they're going through them, cycling back and forth from one to the other. And the women are now paying. So their own system where they are trying to maintain this high level of excitement is backfiring them on them because they're having to go through these cycles of breaking up and being alone and finding someone else. And then that hurts that guy won't commit to them either. And they keep so the women are now paying emotionally in their relationships with the men that are in demand. The men that are not in demand are paying emotionally. All of that energy, all that living energy, psychic energy is coming from men basically 7 and below and being given to all women. And then all women are paying that forward into the top level men who are not really even enjoying it because they want commitment too, but can't have it because as soon as you do that, you become this guy. So what I suggest as a solution is, you know, if you want stability to increase over time, you have to just weather this storm. And people don't even know that you can do that. They don't even know you can. It used to be just a matter of principle. That you would say, well, relationships are hard. People would get married. They go through hard times in a marriage and they'd say, well, that's what marriages are. You get through the hard times and your stability increases over time. The longer you stay together, the stronger your relationship is. But you have to get through these dips. You have to get through the hard times and you have times that are fun, times that are not fun. But now everyone is just saying, if it's not the most fun that I've ever had, then you're bad and I'm abandoning you.
Which it makes logical sense. And even still, the guys who are in the top, you know, three categories, the sevens and ups, they also can do a high level of reserving and holding back resources, and women will work even harder if you give them less. The bad boys don't always have to do the nice guy stuff. And I've noticed, and I'm with you on this, when I've fallen into the top, like the seven and up, where I'm like, I don't have to do that. And they'll start paying for things for me,
Yep. You
know, and I don't even just mean like, I just mean like throughout I'll pay for the date or I'll pay for this thing and I'll take care of this. And I'm like, oh, you're really trying to show you're something different. Okay.
Yep.
And they'll start doing those things to show their provision or what they bring to the table in other ways. And so even the things that I do bring to the table, I don't have to by simply withholding.
Yep.
It's interesting. But the other guys that I know, if you're seven and under, if you're not paying, you're a piece of shit.
Yep.
It's an interesting game, man. It's weird to see how these systems work.
Yep, because you have to make up for what you lack in excitement by paying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then when the cheating starts, that's your fault too, because.
Yeah, I love the explanations. Well, that's where they show that more women are cheating than men, but they don't call it cheating. They call it, he's not meeting my needs.
Yep.
It's not cheating. It's not cheating if I do it. That's I'd say that women gaslight their own introspection.
Yep.
And that's been one of the big things that I was doing for like the denial aspect is gaslighting your own introspection.
Yep.
And women, my 15-year-old called it, she's 16 now, but she called it, she said, we're really good at everyone else's truth, but we're terrible at our own.
Yep.
So if that girl does it, she's a fucking hoe. But if I do it, I'm just living my best life.
Yep, exactly.
You're like, it's the same thing though. How come she's a hoe in your best life? You're like, don't ask questions.
Yep.
Hmm.
So it's my... This is my depiction of the table. This is...
Yeah, I want to hear the table thing.
Yeah, this is just... It's just a basic, you know, and men do it too, but I'm not... I don't have any experience with it. This is the... She's saying, I need these things. I need you to provide these things. If you don't provide them, you're a bad partner. You need to give me this, 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 and this. If you're not doing it, I'm leaving. But when you ask her, what are you providing? She goes, I am the table. I don't provide anything. I don't have to provide you with, if I'm not in the mood to love you, I'm not going to do that. That's emotional labor. They come up with words for it. They say, I should be paid for my emotional labor. They say, I shouldn't need to provide any money, should be providing all the money. If I feel like going out, you know, naked and getting drunk at 3 a.m, then that's my prerogative. And you're not allowed to tell me not to. So it's like, are you providing me stability, safety? What, love? Are you listening to me? I'm not your therapist. I'm not your teacher. I'm not your maid. I'm not your, well, what are you? Just a recipient. I'm just a recipient of the things you can offer and you get nothing in return. That's what I am the table means. And they don't know it. They don't seem to understand that you have you have to have qualities that would make somebody want to be with you.
But this system only works for like the beta males.
Yeah.
The only guys that would even fall for this are the guys who stand for nothing will fall for anything.
Yeah.
And so they'll just keep giving, 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 which then creates the narcissistic personalities where I'm just going to take everything from you until I have a better offer.
Yeah.
And recognizing how men and women, we hunt differently.
Yeah.
And so we have to pursue. And so that's part of the dynamic relationships, and that's why social media is so dangerous for this, is we have to pursue. We'll send the messages. We'll give the compliments. We'll do the chivalry. We pursue. Mm-hmm. And then once in a relationship, we stop hunting. We don't go out and pursue anymore. We're not trying to reach out. I'm not trying to interact in a way to get to be more intimate with you. I stopped hunting. Mm-hmm. Women set traps and then leave the traps. And so they'll go feeling cute, posting now, might delete later, and then just seeing as they put all the fishing line in the water and then just leave the poles alone. And you go like, hey, babe, what are you doing with all these fishing lines? She's like, I'm not even touching them. I'm not doing anything. And then you see her catching like some guys like, you're so hot. And she'll look at, she'll pull that fish in and go like, ew, not the one I want. Gross. Mm-hmm. I hate that they do that. I hate that.
Yeah.
And then you get some doctor or some dude who's like, wow, I would give you the best life ever if you were my girl. Mm-hmm. And they're like, And you're like, hey, babe, what are you doing with that? What are you doing? I'm not doing anything.
Right.
I'm just nothing. I'm just,
Yeah. Just is this evaluating.
Better? And you're like, what are you doing? I thought I'm not hunting. What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't try to catch it. Mm-hmm. It just happened to be here. I don't know whose it is. I'm just seeing it. Like, it's interesting,
yeah,
right?
My behaviors happen at me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that probably wouldn't have happened if you didn't put all those fishing lines in the water.
Yeah.
Oh, now you're blaming fishing lines. I didn't even touch them. I'm not doing anything. This is your insecurity.
Yep.
But you are comparing me to that doctor to see if you're going to leave.
Yeah.
He did offer you a beautiful life. I saw it in your comments.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't ask him to do that. Mm-hmm. Somehow I'm always innocent. But if another woman did that and she was considering leaving her husband for a guy who was putting comments in her post because of status or power or promises, you would go like, that's a disloyal woman.
Yeah.
She's got no integrity. There's no honor there. But if you do it, well, it's my life, my prerogative. It feels like he wasn't meeting my needs and this one may be better for me. Am I supposed to deny myself a better life?
Yeah. Yeah.
We hunt differently.
Yep. And the technology makes hunting something that you can do in bed.
Yes, it does. In fact, you can just take the picture of you in bed and it's still considered fishing.
Yep. Yep. I don't know, man. I don't know how to create any. I think the only answers are going to be technological. Like, the problems are technological.
I may actually go the other way. I think the answers may be more human. Because right now, we're overloading ourselves. The technology has grown by trillions of percent and our brains haven't.
Yeah, but how do you get people to voluntarily stop using it?
Usually there's a rock bottom that I'm noticing. There's some sort of awareness or some sort of a pain point that's hit that makes it so the behavior that I was doing before can no longer be done. Mm-hmm. And this works for addiction. This works for other things too, where there's some sort of like, oh, fuck moment where I know the behavior that I was doing is inevitably guaranteed going to be this.
Yeah.
I'll use smoking, easy example. Mm-hmm. I'll smoke because it's my reward system to stop me from having stress until I get diagnosed with lung cancer. And then I now see a consequence. So now I'll stop. Or I had a guy I talked to who was trying to quit smoking for 2 years, and then he had a lung collapse, and the doctor said, you smoke one right now, you're dead.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, that's an immediate consequence. I cannot continue that behavior without a consequence. So now he stopped that day. Mm-hmm. I couldn't quit for 2 years, but immediately when you die, well, now I can stop and no problem.
Yeah.
And I think that when it comes to watching relationships fall apart, there will be a majority that lean into the technology and it becomes them. And there will be a minority of people who go right back to, let's be a strong, healthy family without all of the distractions and the temptations put right in front of our table.
Yeah.
And messing up what is like the presence in the present, you know, being there for each other and being able to go like, I have a presence now to see I have blessings all around me and I'm not looking to get better to fill the void inside of me that I avoid talking about.
Yeah.
And so I think the humanity element is going to come back. And I don't mean to go like into an Amish society, but I do think there's going to be a level of training for discipline and moderation that will bring hope back where in a dinner date, it won't have half of the time inside of our devices in front of each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that definitely, I mean, it's an immediate marker of somebody to stop paying attention to when they do that.
Correct.
Yeah.
And it shows also the addictive personality stuff. And this is where you start seeing if somebody doesn't have their phone, watch the behavior. Mm-hmm. You're like, they start acting the exact same way as an addict.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like what you're saying. I will believe it when I see it, you know, like a large movement of people changing their minds about something. All I can really do is tell the truth. All I can really do is speak up on my shadow banned platforms.
May the force be with you.
Yeah.
I gotta be open with you. I love the way you do these charts.
Yeah.
And I love the things that you're doing because I do have the guys who fall into the four and under guys. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a full spectrum of men. I have everything from Navy SEAL badasses to guys who just work at a shop and they weren't physically desirable and not, you know, never really pursued in education or anything to show anything other than I work on car, you know, like that's what they do. Or, you know, they work at a service, you know, of some type. And so those guys are really struggling. And they're also, there's also a dissonance too for the brothers that we have where they'll hang out with guys who are the 8, 9, and 10, and they may be a 4 or a 5, but want to continue having the swagger of an 8, 9, or 10.
Yep.
Like, yeah, I saw her, but she had this red flag. So I was like, kick that bitch to the curb. And I'm like, I don't know if you're at that level where you can be throwing them away because you have a smaller pool, dude.
Yeah.
Like maybe give her benefit of the doubt because she actually might be at your level, man. Yep. And see if she wants to grow with you.
That's like, something that I said in a recent video is I would rather be loved by a 4 than tolerated by a 9. And I
well said.
A lot of you need to be dating 4s.
Yeah. Like this is go into the values of a woman, because like when it comes down to what is it, the Ron White, when he's like, if she got small boobs or whatever, you can get boobs. Mm-hmm. You know, if she got a flat butt, she can do squats. You can fix that. You know, if she got a lot of weight, you can get liposuction. You can fix shit. You can do that. You can't fix stupid.
Yeah.
He's like, get a good girl who may not be this perfect image of what all these other girls say they're supposed to be, but get a good woman. Get a good woman. And together you grow and work on your stuff. You know, I give praise to my girl. I love my girl. And she was over 100 pounds. She's lost 100 pounds since I met her. She's lost a lot even since then.
Wow.
Physically.
That's quite a lot of work, yeah.
Yeah, physically we weren't a match. But her values and her hard work and the type of woman that she is and her traits and her personality traits, I was like, this is a good woman, though. Mm-hmm. And so she's been working really hard on herself for herself. I don't require this. I'm not like, you need to knock yourself up, bitch. Like, mm-hmm. No, be a good woman. But also she's starting to find her authenticity. And now her body is starting to match the strength of her mind or the health of her mind.
Yeah.
And this is something that I praise, where she's working hard on her for her, not for me. And this is where you see like a guy who might be up and like dating a 4 or a 5 and be like, bitch, I work out. You need to work out. Mm-hmm. And her going like, but my mind isn't healthy yet.
Right.
Well, let's work on growing together. And then naturally your body will be a reflection of your mind.
Yeah.
This is where I think people don't want to put in the work for somebody who has high potential, and they just want they don't want to be there to cheer on the race. I just want to be there at the finish line to get the trophy.
Exactly. Everyone wants a ready-made perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. But it takes a lot of work to get there. And I think that's why your stability chart makes sense. Where like, are you willing to put in the work for stability, or do you just want the end result without having to do any work? Again, I don't want to compete. I just want to win.
Yeah.
I don't want to do the work. I just want to be in control.
Yep. That's what I'm trying to do right now, is use my following to create a system that shows what responsibility you have to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with that. It's a flow chart of just how life works, regardless of whether or not you're conscious. And then I direct people to be conscious by thinking of it out of order. And instead of just ending up with your behaviors going into your environment, think about your environment first. In the context of how this works, your life is the interaction of your environment and your behaviors, and it comes from your desire. So you have to know what you want, and then you have to work on how you think. And most people aren't aware that you can do that.
Right.
They don't know actually, that you can work on how you think.
That's step one. For me in my program, that's deep in the program.
Yeah.
When I work with men, it's one of the hardest questions is, all right, what do you want, man? And they're like, I don't have that muscle. I'm like, yeah, because we've been told what to do our entire lives.
Yeah.
You're told by your parents and then your teachers and then your coaches and then your bosses and then your spouses. You're told what you need to do next. If you're in the military, your COs, you're always told what to do. And then you go into, now that you have people that you have to take care of, what do they need? And then what do I need to do for you? Well, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? How can I serve you? What do you need? What do you need? What do you need? Mm-hmm. And then I go like, okay, cool. So everybody's taken care of and you did everything you were told to do. What do you want? And they go,
what? Yeah, a lot of people don't know what they want. I created an exercise for that you can do at home. That what people really need to do is get out in the world and get experience and learn what they want. But you can, without leaving your mother's basement, you can just create like a journal and separate it into all the major parts of your life. This is where I use integral theory. I'm making an ad for the integral community in my next big video. And I integrated something called integral life practice into this, which takes account of the major parts of life. So you need work and income, you need spirituality, you need a social life, you need romantic life, you need family. You have to pay attention to these things. You can't not know what's in them. You have to know what your dreams are. You have to know what you like. And if you don't have the experience, you can at least brainstorm what it is that you might want to go in there, and then spend the time sitting and thinking about it. Like, would you like to be a cop? Yes or no? Why not? How does it feel? Do you want to be a sailor? Do you want to marry someone from the Middle East or from somewhere else? Why or why not? What do you or do you not like about that? And then once you have a list of all the areas of your life that you need to pay attention to and what you feel like you might like to fill them with, now you have a direction. And that's what a lot of people lack. They don't know how to find direction. They just sort of sit and wait for someone to give it to them. You can't, it's just not physically, that's not how life works.
Right. I love this system too. Yeah. I have a high level challenge I think that you're perfect for. And I've teamed up with a few other authors and other people who are in the psychology world, and we've still struggled to build the correct chart for trying to figure out what are your needs. Now, we saw Maslow's hierarchy pyramid, which it seems like it's bullshit. And then you see like Max Neef's chart thing, which has been really difficult for people to use. And we're trying to find a more valuable tool to be able to get people the part you're talking about by using your system. What's the tool to even get number one complete? I love what you're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, no, we have to build a better tool because the ones we have now, it's hard to discern between needs, values, desires, dreams, and then being able to go like, let's put the pin on where I want to go. And that's where like the first part of this is what's your current location? And then you're going, where do you want to go? That means there's a journey between these. Now the work can begin.
Yeah.
I think this is great, dude. I love the way that your mind works on this.
Yeah. Trying to save the world with memes.
Some meme therapy.
That's all I've got. There's so little physical power that you can have in the world that all you can do is just draw pictures.
Well, I love it. I think you have something unique and it's needed because right now I think people need simplicity because I think simplicity is genius. And so being able, that's what I do too, is I take 10 books and say, what's the one sentence to like use that puts all these books together and I can use it immediately. And it's been working. Yeah. Like find one sentence, like how can you beat doubt forever? How can you get past the denials that people are stuck in right now? And oftentimes the simplicity is often judged as too simple until applied. And then they go, holy shit, that worked. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I do trainings on that where I'm like, let's do one sentence here to beat that. This works for anxiety. It works for depression. It works for doubt. It works for anger. It works for, you know, all of the sadness elements of people working through their stuff. It works for their motivation. Like there's one sentence that we use for each, and it's the battle tactics that we use in combat.
Yeah.
And go, this is how you beat that. But you have to fight with your fighting style. And a lot of times people are just doing without understanding.
Yeah.
And I love this little chart you have here. And I love that you do it out of order just to shake up people's mentality.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's the whole purpose is that a self-directed life contains anticipation. In order to contain anticipation, you have to know what it is that you're anticipating. People are waiting for lives to fall in their laps. They think that if you just go to college or whatever, then you'll be Andrew Tate or whatever it is that you imagine. But if you don't know what you're trying to create, you can't create it. The world isn't going to create anything for you. The world is very stingy. Mm-hmm. The world doesn't want to give you a comfortable life.
Well, for nothing. And I was just at a buddy's house who his 20-year-old, soon to be 21-year-old stepson was like, I want to go to the Andrew Tate University. Mm-hmm. And we're like, well, let's look at this.
Yeah.
And it really is the just win without being special. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what do you have to do? Like, nope, here's all the things you can do to just have big money and not be anything unique.
Yeah.
I'm like, no skill set? Or wait, what is this trying to sell here?
Yeah.
And all of it is a high ticket buy-in with empty. A low ticket guarantee.
Yeah, people are encouraging me to do that. Like I'm, you know, I created this and I'm selling the PDF packet for $12. It's a very low ticket. And I've got people in my email saying, we want you to make a course. And I'm like, well, that sounds labor intensive. And they go, oh, no. You just make a 90-minute video. And then we sell the course and it's like $2,000 or something. And it's like, well, what do people get? I need to make sure people get something.
They get information.
Yeah. My entire dynasty is based on people getting immediate results when they listen to me. I don't want to just sell
transformation.
People, yeah. I don't want to sell people $2,000 of nothing. I don't care if I die in the gutter if I'm ripping people off. I want people to, you know, one of the things that I'm happiest about, like I'm, you know, life is better than it was last year for me. I got the money and I got fame and everything, but life is bad because the world is bad. there just are not a lot of places to go, not a lot of people to talk to, and there's not a lot of satisfaction to get. Like, I have the money, but what do you get with it? Objects? It's like me and my girlfriend are trying to escape and run away and live in a mountain somewhere so that the world doesn't notice. Like, maybe we can just eat tree bark or something. But one of the things I'm glad I did was when I made Zones version 2, I came up with this suddenly one day. People used to talk about box theory, and maybe they still talk about it. I came up with this independently and then realized that it mirrored box theory pretty closely. So I developed it out to this chart. I showed what women value, the two, you know, different things that women value in men, which is the looks and the physical attraction, and then the taking care of me, and how men really only value the physical and emotional attraction as one thing. And the effect, like the return that I've gotten off of this, it wasn't a lot of money. People buy the chart for $3. You know, I maybe made a couple $1,000s on it. But the return that I've gotten on it of people messaging me in my inbox and in the comments under the video and saying, you changed my whole perspective. You changed my whole life. You made me understand that you can't be this and get this result. You made me understand I have to do these things. I've got people telling me that they're sending it to their sons, and their sons are suddenly going out and being able to talk to girls. The amount of psychological transformation that this thing alone has done, like maybe my life wasn't for nothing just because of that one thing. And it didn't make me a ton of money. It made me some money, but people are coming to me and saying, yeah, high ticket course. But what's in the course? Oh, don't worry about that.
Yeah. Listen, I highly honor and respect what you just said.
Yeah.
And I do the same thing. Like, I do a lot of things that should be a very high ticket, and I do not charge high ticket. Or every single group that I have a part of our creed is to have skin in the game. I am not above our creed. And so every single group I pay for one man who couldn't afford it, who will do the work. And so it's not about the money. It's about what happens. And these people who are trying to convince you to sell information aren't understanding transformation. Like, no, I do real work. Like, I'm not trying to make money so I can have money. My legacy will be carried on long after I'm forgotten.
Well, I mean, that's the whole thing, is like, who's gonna be there to remember it?
Yeah.
Poverty and illiterate in 10 years?
Well, maybe, who knows? Yeah. But those sons will at least have a chance to be able to start a family because of something that we've done, or at least have a values that they stand on that isn't superficial, because they've worked on having a high degree of honor, loyalty, respect, dignity, and they become better men, and they have healthy boundaries and don't just get taken advantage of by people who either look good and aren't nice, or whatever scenarios are happening right now. The guys will say, I have a little more self-respect than I do, than you do, so I'm not going to give my resources up for nothing.
Yeah,
we may be able to make some good men still yet, and maybe able to pull at least a few women out of their own way.
Yeah.
That's a purpose. That isn't something that I need to do a 90-minute video for. I did the 90-minute videos and didn't even use them. I was like, it felt wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we can get enough people to build a world out of, because it feels like 99% of people are just ghosts.
A lot of people feel like that's that way. This next chapter is pretty bleak. And I hate to say that you're right. I'd like to challenge, but I did the math also. And I'm like, this next chapter is sad.
Yeah. We're going to go from a world that was pretty well developed and people had a lot of opportunities to, like, there's going to be maybe something like the size of Nova Scotia that has running water and electricity.
It's going to be and happy families and possibility.
Yeah. And then the rest is just going to be Genghis Khan.
Yeah. Yeah. Or 15-minute cities.
Yeah. I mean, if they can pull that together, like, I wonder what the techno-economic, means of production are going to be. Like, how are they going to keep the 15-minute cities functioning if people are not?
Lower the population.
Yeah.
And have absolute compliance and have people do jobs that, you know, the robots can't do yet.
Mm-hmm. I guess
minimum wage, and everything's just taken care of for them.
Yeah, I guess has to be an administrative class to do that.
Correct.
Yeah,
you're correct.
Yeah. Yep.
The writing's on the wall. Smart people are freaking out.
Yep.
We're not excited about what happens next. I have three teenage daughters, mm-hmm. and I do not enjoy the way that your charts have such a high accuracy.
Yep.
And I don't enjoy the amount of indoctrination that's coming into their minds to fall onto these charts in the unhealthy way.
Yep.
And it seems like the unfortunate thing is no matter how much information you give, there has to be a touch the stove moment for them. And so I'm hoping I'm planting enough seeds to go, not saying I told you so, but see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not really listening.
I don't know anybody who has teenage girls who listen. Mm-hmm. It's just part of the system for being a teenager anyways, because a lot of boys are also similar. It's teenager, man.
Yeah.
It's all of us.
Yeah. Teenagers and so
that's just teenager.
It's something I've noticed that a lot of parents are really, really not figuring out. They say, I'm such a good parent, my child will never fall into this trap. But when they get into the teenage years, their brain switches. And it's like, mm-hmm. anything my parents say is the devil. And that's biological. Correct. Because yes. that's built in to make sexually developing young people get away from their families to prevent inbreeding. That's a evolutionary psychology thing. So correct. they avoid anything that comes from family so that they can go away. People say that they don't like or they don't respect adults, and that's not true. They just don't respect their parents or familiar adults. They think other adults are awesome because they want to go learn to be an adult. It's just mm-hmm. anything that's not what I'm familiar with.
It's necessary, too, for them to challenge their own level of competency and independence. Mm-hmm. And so they have to go and make some of these mistakes on their own. I think our job as parents is to make it so that the mistakes they make aren't catastrophic.
Yeah.
You know, so like, yeah, go ahead and drink too much because yeah. you'll feel sick, but you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, or like, they had a stupid boyfriend. He's a stupid boyfriend. That sucked. Okay, well, you learned, right?
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do from that, you know? And go and have a friend who's a backstabbing friend.
Yeah.
You're going to learn real quick what traits to watch for good friends. So those are not like your life is ruined ones. But there are ones where I'm like, it's not a good idea for you to go with people you don't know well to a frat house of guys who are drunk as fuck. You get too drunk, fall asleep in a bedroom with nobody. You have no idea who anybody is. And then you're half naked in a bed full of wolves.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is poor choices. And it's a series of poor choices. Don't put yourself in these scenarios because it's more likely a very bad thing will happen because you just threw bacon on the floor in a house full of dogs. Mm-hmm. It's your fault.
Yep.
Stay out of those scenarios completely.
Yep.
Don't even go to those places. This is just where I try to give them at least, this is a catastrophic danger.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like have awareness and make dumb choices because you'll learn, mm-hmm. but don't do ones that destroy your life.
Yep. Ideally. I hate to cut it short. I don't know how long you were planning on going. I have a coaching
this
session
is perfect.
To get to.
You're good, man. It's such an honor. How can we serve you in any way? Is there some place that you want people like to, hey, check out the graphs or
yeah.
join a program or subscribe? How can we help you in any way?
Everything that I do is on my Linktree. Right now, I'm working on growing my following as much as I can. I know I'm, shadow banned on a lot of platforms. It's still going pretty well. I am making videos. I'm doing 2 days of coaching per week. It's all booked out. Like I'm not really able to keep up right now with what I can be doing. So I am already putting as much work as I can into the things that are successful for me. My main focus is on getting the videos out because that's what causes the most transformation. When I can mm-hmm. create charts and drawings that make people go, oh, I get it, right? That's what I want the most. I want people to see that the most. I don't know how anyone can make that go faster. Just share them, I guess.
So like, subscribe, share.
Yeah.
And then get the word out that we can do more transformation
yep.
if we just pay attention.
Yep. I'm trying as hard as I can to write the things concisely in a way that is easy to understand. And when people look at them, you can make better decisions. And I'll be coming out with... There's no shortage of, I'm not going to run out of ideas. I've got a lot of things to say. So hopefully I can create, a small army of people who are armed with ideas critical that thinking. Create a life worth living.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Man, it's such an honor. Thank you so much for being on the show. And I'm looking forward to serving you in the future.
Thank you. All right.
Click on the button and you can become the hero in your own story. It's time to start making the choices to change. And the evolution that you're going to do begins with choosing the next step. This is the way. And together, we're always stronger.